Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, we're at the end of the month, January 31st, and well, it was sure an interesting month. A lot of volatility and a bit of a different mentality from traders, it seems like. We'll start with the U.S. equity markets, but in terms of that whole different mentality, we're not seeing the same optimism or, quite frankly, the same upward movements in the U.S. equity markets that we saw for pretty much all of last year. We have, right now, the S&P for this month down a little more than 6%. The Dow is down 4%. The NASDAQ down 10% this month. And I think the most noteworthy thing is that we're not seeing intraday or even intra-week a massive buy come into these markets on any sort of weakness. Again, they're not crashing, but they're definitely trending lower as of now. Ed, what's your takeaway from the first month of 2022 being weak for the broad markets?
Well, it seems that in the first month of the year saw a major reset on Wall Street. And as we closed out 2021, the expectations were fairly upbeat. We were anticipating the Fed was going to have a gradual tightening. You were going to see possibly 2 to 3 rate hikes. And in addition to that, the Biden administration was going to move forward on Build Back Better. The energy crisis was something that was a key risk for a lot of traders, but there was optimism that kind of once we got past January, maybe February, things would improve dramatically. And it seems that we heard Powell's testimony, then we had the FOMC decision, and really it was the confirmation hearing and that really kind of unnerved markets, where Powell admitted, you know, the Fed got inflation wrong, and you saw expectations go from 2 to 3 rate hikes to 4 to 5, and now, you know, over the weekend you're reading some of these analyst notes, it seems like the range is 4 to 7. And when you have some of the more dovish Fed members talking about 3, you know we're definitely going to see 4 to 5 would be extremely, I think, conservative now. The problem right now for Wall Street is that a lot of traders there's like one camp of traders, and I think this is the bigger camp. There's valuation concerns as you're starting to see these interest rate hike expectations kind of really and just seeing the impact on with real yields, you know, the 10-year, you know, we were comfortably watching that one always be around -1%. Now it's at -0.68, so 68 basis points. And you're going to see that you know, the 2 and 10s, you know, that keeps getting a lot narrower. It's like 60 basis points. And when you get to 20, that's when people are starting to price in a recession. So I think there's also those group that are at the camp of people that are concerned about growth. So it seems that we went from thinking 2022 was just going to be the reopening trade, maybe cyclicals, you know, outperforming the first half as we kind of get past Omicron. And now there's a chorus of risks. You have Ukraine providing a tense situation with Russia, and there's this belief that you know, the chip shortage is going to extend beyond June. There was this belief that wasn't going to happen. Inflation, it's still going to be intense after these first couple of Fed rate hikes, and that's why I think you have a lot of a lot of the smart money on Wall Street. They're looking at these rallies and they're saying, no, this is, I want to fade these. So you're looking at month end, you know, month end volatility is always fascinating to watch, but I would not be surprised if you saw a lot of investors, you know, on Tuesday, just go ahead and say that, no, this is, you know, it's going to be rough waters ahead. And you're probably going to see that. I think the argument is that you're going to have markets really anticipate greater, bigger Fed rate hikes early. And that's probably what's going to, you know, keep stock market trading choppy. And I think, though, you know, when you get to the middle of the year, I think there's good reason for markets to believe the Fed could go slower potentially. And But we're not there yet. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult to be optimistic here. And especially this week, where we have a lot of important economic readings, you're going to see that, whenever we have a payroll report, you know, and a lot of this data, you know, like the ISM manufacturing report, that's, you know, expected to, you know, ease up a little bit. That's going to be impacted by Omicron. You have the JOLTS. That one's supposed to soften a little bit, but there's a broad weakness. It's not substantial weakness. I mean, the outlook is still robust for the U.S., I believe. But yeah, you're seeing definitely a loss of momentum here, and that's because of the Omicron variant impact. And it will be interesting to see how much does that really alter the Fed stance. Right now, it doesn't seem like it does, because they're right now just fixated on inflation. So I think you're going to see investors be very skeptical of any sustained rallies right now.
Well, Ed, just beyond the, you know, the obvious Fed rate hike cycle that's about to start and the Omicron concerns, it does seem like there could have been a tenor change from 2021 to 2022, in the sense that last year, all we heard about was rotation, rotation, rotation. It was going from one sector to the next to the next. And in the last couple months, really, not just in January only, but we've seen growth stocks take a huge hit, meme stocks take a huge hit, the reopening trade stocks, stocks like Peloton and Zoom just crushed. And a lot of these, you know, ARK Innovations, growth ETFs, or these stay-at-home stocks aren't coming back to anywhere close to the levels that they were last year. So is it possible some of that money isn't going to be able to rotate now because it's been evaporated, and that's probably why there's more trepidation? Is a lot of people that were in individual stocks, I mean, the vast majority of the NASDAQ stocks are down far worse than the index. So is it possible a lot of money went to money heaven, and that's why we're not seeing such a robust rebound this time?
That's definitely, I think, part of the equation. And I think when you take a look at how, you know, we finished the year, there was a tremendous amount of froth in the system. And I think the meme stock bubble bursting was very concerning for a lot of traders, especially the new millennial trader that got started and was, you know, very confident, you know, outperforming many hedge funds throughout large parts of the pandemic. And then you had the crypto crash. So you saw a lot of these key investments that, you know, were you know, top trades, you know, over the past couple of years, and now they've been blown up. So I think that there is you know, we saw a tremendous amount of panic selling, I think that there is definitely a large part of the market that got burned, that is now hesitant. They're not as excited right now to either increase or average, you know, down their positions. So I think you're right in seeing that, you know, the conviction to buy the dip, it's not really there right now. And I think for a large part of this rebound that we're seeing, it's going towards, you know, sound, reputable, big tech companies that have, you know, significant, you know, revenue for long-term revenue, upbeat outlooks that, you know, that are likely to, you know, remain intact. I mean, this is, you know, you're not looking to place a wide bet across all these companies that are, you know, not yet profitable. So I think that, you know, the fear is that, you know, it's going to be a very tricky environment here. And you're now seeing people are just looking for best of breed. And I think that the market is going to see that it's not going to be a one way trade anymore. And I think people are, you know, they're abandoning the Peloton trade. They're, you know, Zoom, and I think that you're probably going to see the interest is which companies are going to be behind the metaverse, which companies are going to be behind cloud growth, and you're going to see that. I think there's a more interest right now in some of the more early stages of where we see you know, the next wave of tech revolution happening. I think ARK got picked on, and now they're in a position where it's just you just had so much. It just became a momentum trade that everyone just went and they wrote it up, and they're writing it down. And I think that now a lot of people are turning a lot more conservative, considering the losses that have happened in just the past couple months.
So, Ed, I also want to talk about the U.S. dollar, because the dollar impacted a lot by central bank policy and also impacted a lot by general sentiment and economic data. The dollar pretty flat in December, let's say, more of a range-bound trade, and then dropped for the first half of January and then went almost straight up to the end of the month here, breaking above really any past levels. We're at multi-year highs in the dollar. Is the path of least resistance still higher for the dollar after that little bit of weakness in the first half of January?
Dollar is a fascinating trade right now, because if you take a look across Latin America, emerging markets, there is a little bit of rebound today. But overall, this faster Fed tightening expectation is triggering a massive demand for U.S. dollars abroad. So I think that the EM trade is going to struggle over the short term. So I think the dollar against EM is likely to outperform and remain king. Where it gets complicated is with Europe. Obviously the Fed has done its part in trying to catch up in fighting inflation, and you have the Bank of England who's this week they're poised to continue with their rate hiking cycle this week, and money markets are now expecting them to deliver, I think, 125 basis points this year, and even the ECB is expected to deliver a 25 eventually, probably by the end of the year. So I think the overall dollar is short term likely to remain fairly strong, but the problem is because it's the weighting is so heavily against the euro. That's going to be a very difficult trade, just because the euro has been very resistant on tightening policy, and there are several key risks, Italian politics, including the Russia-Ukraine situation, could have a impact for that region. I think that there's still an environment where if we do see some more broader global equity weakness, you'll see the euro weaken a little bit more. But overall, the growth potential story, which was why we saw the euro and all the high beta currencies really rally at the dollar early this in January, was because that growth potential story was going to excel whatever we were anticipating for the U.S. And that story is still there. It's just going to be delayed. So, the king dollar is likely to remain, keep its crown a little bit longer, probably much longer against EM those currencies will really struggle with this more hawkish stance that traders have for the Fed, and that's going to be I think where you'll probably see a lot more investors now, currency traders, that is kind of eye some of these other emerging market opportunities, as they'll probably provide some greater trends I think in the first half of the year.
Well, just as we wrap up, love to get your thoughts on the cryptoverse. We have seen some kind of muted moves back to try to claw back some of the gains in the cryptos. But the biggest conversation piece seems to be, the more interest in the altcoins over the traditional stalwarts like Bitcoin and Ethereum. And any thoughts on the cryptos?
Well, cryptos right now, I think a lot of traders, they're trying to get a better assessment as far as, which crypto provides me with the best upside, over the next year or two. And I think that the lessons learned over the past couple of months is that Bitcoin is still you know, a key holding for most crypto traders. But the path back to record high territory is going to be a lot harder. And you know, the calls for 100,000 or higher have faded into the background. And I think what most crypto traders are now focused on is, well, you know, real world applications. How are we going to revolutionize the financial payment system? How is blockchain going to really going to be adopted by corporate America, and which coins are going to be behind that? There's a race. And I think because a lot of these up and coming crypto coins like Luna, Polkadot, Solana, certain advantages on scalability versus Ethereum. There's this diversification trade that's going on where people are saying, oh, I'm going to spread my bets across some of these top coins, altcoins, and in anticipation that, you know, one of them might end up becoming the key coin that eventually really takes away the lion's share away from Ethereum. So there's that mentality that you might have, you know, 10x or even higher opportunities with some of these altcoins, whereas, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, the longer term bullish outlook is still there. It's just that the outperformance is unlikely to be anywhere close to how these other altcoins will perform. And this data has been clearly noted when you take a look at, you know, how their dominance has faded. You know, it used to be, you know, both Bitcoin was the majority of people's holdings. And now it's, I think Bitcoin's faded to like around 40% of the market cap. So I think traders are ready for, they're looking for Bitcoin to show it's truly stabilized. And right now it's showing signs of that. But if we have one more major risk off event heading into, I think that March FOMC meeting, you could see crypto is vulnerable to one last major plunge. But I think after that, then traders are anticipating if Bitcoin has formed a solid base, then that could be the sign for the altcoin season to begin.
All right, Ed, we'll wrap it up here. Boy, oh boy, what an interesting first month of the year this is. And if January is a barometer for the rest of the year, we are in for a wild ride in a wide range of markets, as we did have broadly a lot correct this month, but there were still some standouts, kind of like oil, that just kept on moving higher. Ed, thank you, as always, for your time. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.